2-1.
Okay, we'll call this meeting, it's 4 o'clock, we'll call the meeting of the Story County Board of Agenda in order, and January 16th, 2019, roll call, please.
McGill.
Here.
Scarlett, absent. Youngberg, absent. Brecky.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here. Okay, in front of you this evening, you have the agenda. Do I hear any additions or subtractions to the agenda? If not, I'll let it stand as presented. In front of you, you have the meeting of 11-29-2018. Any adjustments, changes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
Motion to accept the minutes.
Second?
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Also in front of you, you have the findings of fact from previous meetings. You have also looked those over. As you can see, there's CUP 17, 618, 918, 1018, 718, and 518. Do I hear any changes to those? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the findings of fact from our previous meetings.
I'll make a motion to accept them.
Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
Motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. All right, in front of us right now, we're in an area. Normally, the way the meetings take, we open the floor up for any public comments against any motions that we have taken in the past, but not those that we have on the agenda for this evening. We'll take those when they come. Not hearing any, do I hear any public comment or anyone want to make any comments? If not, then we'll move on to the additional items in front of you. We have the election of officers for 2019 calendar year. So, question I've got to staff, there's only three of us here. Do we want to wait till we have more, or do we proceed?
I think either way, it's up to the board adjustment, how they want to do that. We do need a chair and a vice chair to be.
Correct. Okay. I guess my opinion is if we could wait till the next meeting to elect them, then those, the acting chair and vice chair, will carry through till the next meeting?
Is that legit? The bylaws do indicate that it's supposed to be done like the last meeting of the month, so.
Okay.
Of the year, excuse me. So that was December. So if you like to wait while you have a full body to make those recommendations for appointments, we can sort of put on the agenda for next.
Okay, if that's our, it just seems like that would make more sense with, if we can get at least another person here. So,
okay.
All right. And we will table that till next meeting. And also in front of you, the 2019 Board of Agenda meeting schedule. Any comments, changes, suggestions, problems with that?
Generally, those, what you see before you is the Board of Adjustment meets the third Wednesday of each month. So those are the dates that we have for meeting schedule.
Do you know if that November meeting is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving? We moved it this year, I think, because of that. And we moved it in 2018.
It's on the calendar.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's on November 20th. Yeah, November 20th.
Thanksgiving will be, it'll fall different next year.
Okay. Yeah, it'll probably fall a little later on.
Right.
So it's the third, it'd be the third Thursday. Thanksgiving, so that's the 21st.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's the 28th.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
All right. Okay.
You're right, Stephanie.
We said that, then I'd entertain a motion to approve the calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion in second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, moving down through our agenda. Discussion of our work program. Jerry.
Yes, the work program is something that the planning and development staff, we sit down with the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Supervisors every year and really come up with things that amount to special projects. These are things that we're reviewing outside of the normal daily activities, like reviewing zoning permits or the some of the items that come before the Board of Adjustment, like the variance appeal applications or the conditional use permits, applications, which you see a lot of. So these are special projects that all the staff, I included, Stephanie gets involved to some degree in working on these. Some of these things take several months. Some of these things take many months. Sometimes they're carried over from year to year. But we wanted to just kind of give you an idea as to the things that we look at outside of the things that we bring before the Board of Adjustment. We've got 23 things. Several of these were carried over from the previous 2018 work program. We ended up getting through 7 of the 26 items, but 10 of those we were actively working. So the first 10 things that you see on this list, we're actually working on right now. Some of these things, if and the way it works is if we're working on an item, we usually go after we've worked internally, worked with other staff members in the county. You know, some of these things we're working with other cities, other entities. But the goal is that we work pretty closely with the Planning and Zoning Commission on the progress. We get input from the commission members, and then ultimately we go to the Board of Supervisors. Some of these things involve ordinance amendments to our land development regulations. But a couple of things worth noting are we're working on a stormwater ordinance that will ultimately, if it's approved by the Board of Supervisors, it's an amendment to our existing ordinance. It will improve our soil quality and water quality. We're also trying to work on having locations strategically identified in the county in the case we get hit by a disaster, whether it be flooding or a tornado, that we have a place to take debris to. So property owners, people in residential subdivisions, primarily is going to affect the people in the unincorporated area of the county. It'll give them a place to bring their material to. A big part of this will involve us working with a third-party contractor, hauler, to bring the debris from the disaster location to one or more of the sites in the unincorporated area of the county. And then that way we can process it, keep recycled materials, and then ultimately landfill. But we've been told from the Boone County Landfill Administrator that in a large disaster, a lot of this material won't likely end up at the Boone County Landfill, at least not right away. So this is something that that we've been working on for several months. There's a lot of moving parts to it. But the big thing is to try to find some locations. And we just got a tip. We received a new Planning and Zoning Commission member who gave us some information, ideas on contacting certain property owners that are currently storing the Stover piles, that they might be interested in participating in this program that we've been working on. We've heard from some of those landowners. So, again, my goal wasn't to go through all of these with you, but just to kind of show you that there's things that we work on outside of things that we bring to the Board of Adjustment, and all the staff works on these things. If we're not doing the case development work or permit reviews, we're working on long-term special projects, and usually they're things that are in the program. So I'd be happy to answer your questions that you have on it. Just want to keep you in the loop.
So that program you described, that would be folks are paid a retainer or something to say, well, if there is a disaster, we would like to use your plot of land to store things until we can get it cleaned up.
Yeah, initially we had like a contract, like a lease agreement, And we had a couple of landowners who were interested initially, but I think there's concern with this processing of the debris, you're using heavy equipment, and there's concern that with that heavy compaction of the equipment, it may affect the productivity of the land. Depending on the disaster, you know, we may need anywhere from 20 to 30 acres, you know, to actually process and set out the various areas. You need a separate spot for people, because people in Iowa, we, you know, Iowans don't wait for people to come in and help. We, you know, we typically get right on it, and so we're going to need a spot for people to bring their debris to the location or locations if they want to do it on their own. So, but yeah, initially we're starting with a lease agreement, and with the idea that if we need it, then we would comp, like if they had a crop in place, that we would compensate them for any use of the property.
If it's not needed, though, they're just continuing to grow crops on it or whatnot.
Right, right. But again, we don't have any agreement. We've got the document in place, but no landowners are interested in doing it. So, well, we got a couple of individuals, property owners, who are interested, so we're going to pursue those. But if you guys have any ideas, some folks that might be interested.
Where does the debris and stuff go now?
Well, we don't have, like, some counties have, you know, they do it at the local level, or there's, like, the private sector does debris processing of shingles or certain materials.
Doesn't that most of that go over to Boone now?
Yeah, we have an agreement. We're a partner with the reclamation in Ames and Boone County Landfill. We have a 20-80 agreement. But we've been told that if it's a significant disaster, that we shouldn't count on having all of their debris up there. So we likely would be working with a surrounding county that has a landfill to ultimately take it to. But you know, the goal is to get reimbursed through all this, so there's very strict requirements. And if it's a subdivision that gets hit by a tornado, there's processing requirements, and the material has to be set out by the road right away. Materials separated, you can get property owners to separate, you know, the lumber and the shingles and appliances. You know, in a tornado, you're going to have all kinds of things.
I know on the emergency planning level, there's discussion about what went on over in Marshalltown or Marshall County and that sort of thing. When they had that disaster, did they have their own area to dispose of, or is that something that was?
I think there was just coming out of site in the city where they actually ended up taking it to process it. I didn't actually go over there, Keith. Morgan, our emergency management coordinator, and his staff went over there quite a few times to provide some assistance. But I think they're still dealing with this. And even though the goal is to ultimately get reimbursed, it takes years for that to happen. And you have to have documentation. You really have to. So in a disaster, our reality is we have the EOC command center in the basement, and we're a part of that. So one staff member will be there. If you have site, you have three coming, that person needs to be there. We need to have staff at our office. So we've got two numbers and a lot of places to be. So, but it's important to be prepared for it. And we've been told by Keith that we're pretty far ahead compared to a lot of counties on the planet. Any other questions about the work program?
Any questions for Jerry and staff? The board?
Thank you.
If not, then we'll move on. Hearings, we variance requests, really, Murkowski variance requests, VAR 0718.
Okay. So this is a variance request for you. Mr. Miranowski is here today if you have any specific questions for him. I would just note that this is sort of a part of a larger request. Mr. Miranowski has applied for a rezoning and a C2C future land use map amendment for this portion of the property to go from the A1 agricultural district to the A2 agribusiness district in order to store and then distribute wine from this site. So with that change in use that's being proposed, there's going to have to be a variance component to that request due to the setback of the building. And I'll get into those details later, but know that the variance comes in while the property is still currently zoned A2. The Planning and Zoning Commission has recommended approval of that rezoning to the Board of Supervisors, and that meeting will take place on the 22nd. So there's a few balls up in the air right now, but if you have any questions as we go on, feel free to ask, okay? The applicant is John Marinowski, who owns Prairie Vineyards LC. The property is located at 56344 130th Street, and that's in section 19 of Howard Township. The districts for this property are the Story City Ambulance, Story City Fire, the Rural and Story School District, Midland Power Cooperative, and the Iowa Regional Utilities Association. This site, however, is served by a well. So, just an overview of the request. Again, a rezoning is being requested from the A1 to the A2 agribusiness district, and also C2C future land use map designation amendment from the agricultural conservation area to the commercial industrial area, just for the north, approximately 1 acre of the property. In terms of the variance request, the applicant is requesting a 14-foot front yard setback variance from the required 50-foot setback to 36 feet. And that variance is to table 86.3 of the Surrey County Land Development Regulations. And the building here is existing, and table 86.3 sets the bulk standards for the A2 agribusiness district. The front yard setback requirement, however, is the same for the A1 agricultural district as is for the A2 agribusiness district. So this, we are recommending approval of this request with a condition that the variance come into effect if and when the property is rezoned to the A2 district. So I just wanted to give you just a overview of the property quick. This is I-35 north and south here. This is 130th Street. The area to be rezoned is this very northern portion, and under that red block is the building that we're looking at here. So this is zoomed into the northern portion of the property. This red boundary is the area that's being requested for rezoning, and also the future land use map amendment. The variance request is to, let's see, the front setback here. It's currently 36 feet from that north lot line. This lot line is, this lot line is the south right-of-way line for 130th Street, the interchange of 130th Street and I-35. So it's rather wide here, wider than normal. So again, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the rezoning with the following conditions. The applicant shall continue to work with environmental health staff to determine water usage and any necessary upgrades to the existing system. And then a commercial site plan sketch will be required, including area for required parking. And that would be approved by the Board of Supervisors as well. That is going to the Board of Supervisors next week. So looking at the vicinity map, we're in the very western portion of Howard Township, right on the west side of I-35. And the subject property is located in the southwest corner of the I-35 and 130th Street interchange. It's less than a mile south of Story City. Within a half mile of the subject property, 89% is an agricultural or natural area, and about 11% is used as residential land. You can see the Greenbelt Conservation District that runs along the Skunk River there. Zooming in a little bit, this is the zoning map. The subject property again is currently zone A1. There's Greenbelt Conservation Zone zoning immediately to the west, and then also some R1 residential zoning to the north. The subject property is immediately adjacent to Story County Conservation property. There's a trailhead right at the north portion, right off of 130th Street there. This is also where the access to the subject property is, and I will get into that in just a minute though. The C2C future land use map designates this area primarily as agricultural conservation. There is some natural area on the site. To the west of the Story County Conservation property, there is a rural residential area designation. And then the Story City urban expansion area is to the west there. So the subject property here is highlighted in yellow. There are a couple subdivisions, the Royal Orchard Estates to the north of 130th Street there, and then Woodland Haven Estates off of 560th. So just a little background on the project. Prairie Vineyards was acquired the subject property in 2005, and the subject property includes the subject property we're talking about today, and then also a almost 5-acre parcel right here to the south. Since 2005, Prairie Vineyards has established about 7 acres of grapevines for sales and wine production. Currently, the applicant sells grapes to nearby wineries and other hobby winemakers. The existing steel utility building was constructed in 2015 through an agricultural exemption and is located approximately 36 feet south of the north property line. The applicant is requesting the 14-foot front yard setback variance from 50 to 36 feet. Again, the variance is required because of the change of use. This is looking at the access to the property. The access easement is highlighted here in yellow. Again, this is a trailhead for Story County Conservation. Can see the trail in red. The trail does extend onto the subject property, and this has been the case for a long while, quite a while, I guess. Mike Cox, the Story County Conservation director, is working with the applicant to create a written easement for use of that property. So that should get squared away in the near future. This is just zooming in a little bit. The access is here to the trailhead. The subject property takes access along this driveway here. Traffic generally to the subject property comes along the north edge here and then to the eastern edge of the building. There is a concrete pad on that eastern edge near the overhead door. Again, this is the area to be rezoned, and then the variance request is for this setback here. So after the applicant obtains a Class A native winery permit, the applicant anticipates marketing the wine produced to local wine distributors and to other retail outlets such as Hy-Vee and Cyclone Liquors. It's anticipated that between 5,000 and 7,000 bottles would be distributed each year, and that 1 to 2 part-time employees, in addition to the owner, would be required for the harvesting and processing and the distribution of the wine. Of those 5,000 to 7,000 vials of wine, it's only anticipated that between 500 and 1,200 of those bottles would be processed and bottled on the subject property. The applicant does have a what he refers to as a custom crush arrangement with Soldier Creek Winery in Fort Dodge, where he takes larger quantities of grapes that are grown and they process and bottle the wine for him in Fort Dodge. So just a little bit, maybe just a little more detail on the use of the site. The processing equipment will be housed entirely inside the accessory structure. The bottled wine will also be stored inside. The applicant anticipates supply deliveries and wine pickup will be done with light trucks such as pickups or vans, and it will occur approximately once per week. Soldier Creek may deliver the bottled wine from their through their custom crush arrangement once or twice a year. So the traffic impact isn't anticipated to be too significant. The site does have security cameras near the entrance and in the interior of the building. So it's just an interior layout sketch. Wine tanks and storage here. The overhead door, again, that concrete pad is located here. There's restroom and working sink. And then the winemaking equipment would be stored along this in the northwestern corner and then moved up to the center when it's being used. Some site photos, this is looking west along 130th Street from that shared access with Story County Conservation. This is looking north across 130th Street and looking east. This is looking at the southeast at the shared access, the trailhead there. This is the parking area. And then this is looking east along that access easement.
It was a wet day.
This is the west side of the building. I'm looking east toward the building. This is looking north from the subject property across 130th Street. You can see there is quite a significant change in elevation between the street and the subject property. This is looking east along the north side of the building. Again, the distance between this northeastern corner of the building and the right-of-way is a variance request. So it's looking southwest at the existing building, east end there. This is looking southwest at the subject property. Looking south along a driveway to the vineyard. The vineyard is located to the south of the building. This is looking southeast. And then looking back north toward the accessory structure. This is looking northwest at the access easement drive. So in terms of the findings of fact for a variance, looking at the findings of a finding of unnecessary hardship. So the first item under this category is the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used for a purpose only allowed in that zone. This building was constructed primarily to store agricultural equipment for the vineyard. As the business has progressed and if the rezoning is approved to the A2 agribusiness district, the building will also be used to process smaller quantities of grapes grown by the applicant, as well as to store and distribute the bottled wine. These planned activities are a logical extension of the grape growing and harvesting process, and it extends the offering, extends the offerings of the business and will increase the reasonable return of the property. Two is the plight of the owners due to unique circumstances and not to the general conditions of the neighborhood, which may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance itself. The applicant has indicated that it was his intent to meet the minimum 50-foot front yard setback. The I-35 right-of-way is pretty unique there and is rather wide. There are no adjacent agricultural properties with accessory structures to compare setbacks with. again, while the building doesn't meet the minimum front yard setback, it's approximately 170 feet from the south edge of, 107 feet from the south edge of 130th Street. The south and north edges of 130th Street right-of-way increase in width as they go east toward I-35 due to the I-35 interchange. So the south right-of-way line of 130th Street is not parallel to the road, and consequently it angles to the southeast and becomes closer to the building on the east side of the property than the west. Three is the use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. The building will continue to be used for agricultural equipment for the grape growing operation. If the rezoning is approved, the applicant will process smaller batches of grapes on the property and inside the building. And then according to the applicant, a pickup truck or van deliveries would happen once or twice per week to the property. B is granting the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. The shape, size, and type of materials of the applicant's building are typical of agricultural buildings constructed in Story County. There are similar buildings located on the east side of the I-35 interchange. The building is over 100 feet from the edge of 130th Street and from the ramp to I-35. There are woods to the west of located on Story County Conservation property that partially buffer the view of the building. And staff determined that the building location is not contrary to public interest. And C is that the spirit and intent of the Story County Cornerstone to Capstone comprehensive plan and the Story County Land Development Regulations are protected. Looking at the existing designation, agricultural conservation area, principles of that designation include promoting alternative agricultural methods that work in harmony with conventional operations, also limiting conflicts between agricultural uses and rural residences. The proposed designation, which is the commercial industrial area, includes principles such as supporting new commercial and industrial development where infrastructure exists, providing adequate buffers to agricultural uses, and then encouraging proposed development to take access off existing paved roads. So the grape growing process is, the grape growing activity is considered an alternative agricultural activity to the typical corn and soybeans grown in Story County and in Iowa. The applicant would like to expand the use beyond growing and partial production of wine to the distribution of wine to various retail businesses. Delivery trips from the subject property are anticipated to be minimal. The Story County Comprehensive Plan and Story County Land Development Regulations have similar goals in maintaining the county's agricultural character, protecting the natural resources, and allowing limited commercial development interrelated to agriculture. We did route this for interagency review, as variance requests are primarily a function of, or most related to the Planning and Development Department. We did note that if the rezoning and the variance are approved, the applicant will need to submit a zoning permit application and fee for the building, changing its status from agriculturally exempt to more of a commercial use. We sent public notification letters to property owners within a quarter mile of the site. We did receive two comments. The owner of Woodland Farms, which is owner of land, quite a bit of land around Story City and Roland, emailed planning and development staff to provide support for both the rezoning request and the variance request. We received a phone call today from a nearby property owner who asked questions about the potential future impact of the rezoning and variance on traffic along 130th Street, looking with the proposed rezoning, what other uses would be permitted in on the property, and then also what potential traffic could be generated from those uses. Application materials were also routed to Story City, and we did not receive any comments from the city. So points to consider, the existing building was constructed in 2015 through an agricultural exemption. It was the intention of the property owner to meet the 50-foot setback from the front lot line in the A1 district. The existing building is located approximately 107 feet south of the south edge of 130th Street. The existing building is consistent with the character of other agricultural buildings in the area. The processing of grapes, wine storage, and wholesaling of wine is interrelated to the vineyard and a logical expansion of the grape growing operation. No major improvements will be made to the site with this request beyond a parking area. There is not anticipated to be a major increase in traffic to and from the site beyond deliveries. If an agritourism use, such as a wine tasting use, is proposed in the future for the building or the property owner must apply for a conditional use permit. At that time, further site improvements may be required. So based on the legal principles, planning and development staff recommend approval of the 14-foot front yard setback variance for the required setback in the A1 agricultural district and the proposed A2 agribusiness district from 50 feet to 36 feet for the existing building with the following condition. That is, the variance shall be in effect only if and when the proposed rezoning request, which is rezoning 0518, from the A1 agricultural district to the A2 agribusiness district, for the northern, approximately 1 acre of the subject property is approved by the Story County Board of Supervisors and published in the 3 county designated newspapers. So here are the alternatives for the Board of Adjustment. The first alternative is approval as submitted. The second is approval with conditions, again, that's staff's recommendation. The third is denial, and the fourth is to send it back to the applicant and staff for further review.
Okay. Thank you, Emily.
Yes.
Board, any questions for Emily?
I just have a couple of technical questions.
Sure.
So, is it because of the change in the zoning that the, maybe walk me through this. So, originally the variance was not required?
Yeah, so the building was originally permitted through an agricultural exemption. In the state of Iowa, we allow buildings and uses primarily adapted to agriculture. They're not required to meet our zoning requirements.
Very good.
Okay. Yes. So that was initially how it was constructed, as the use was primarily for agriculture. Now that the use is changing, it would be required to meet our setback requirements.
And like Emily said, he intended to meet that. He thought he met that. But when we started to work with him, look at aerials, we realized that it wasn't.
And that's because of the peculiarities of how the on-ramp happens and stuff.
Right, that south right-of-way line of 130th Avenue does dip down, and the eastern edge, I don't know what the total foot difference is, but it does drop quite a bit. So that does have some impact.
It's something like 110 feet.
From the road, it's 107 feet.
Yeah,
but yeah, you can see like the, you know, here's the northwest property pin, and then the northeast. You know, there's several feet here difference.
So if 535 didn't happen to be there, the setback would be from the top left corner, basically draw a straight line across.
Right.
Correct.
So he'd be plenty of room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
He would likely have met it.
But when it was built, it met criteria then, correct?
In 2015, it was constructed.
Yeah.
It was considered to be an ag use exempt, so, from setbacks.
And the housing of bottles and processing is what takes it out of the, why it needs to be A2 now? Is it no longer just
processing and the distribution? And he's in the process of getting a license from the state, and they require that you be properly zoned. So he's, it's kind of a catch-22. So he's trying to take care of this at the local level before he gets his license from the state.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mironovsky,
yes.
any comments?
Sure, I'd like a few comments.
You'll state your name and address there at the podium. We'd appreciate it.
My name is John Mironovsky. I'm a retired Ohio State professor. But with that background, that's my background. I retired in 2016. Retirement activity, and I love the challenge. So forth cuts out of that. I don't think, you know,
you know, we're too far along. Maybe 14, and I'm not arguing about that, but I don't know what we've done on the basis. And the second thing is that I, you know, as I said, one thing is I might be on agricultural activity. And most of my friends and one who's around the state is also, you know, agricultural activity. So they're not being rezoned in those empty sites. Looking down the road, that, you know, needs to be rezoned. And no matter how many people I'm working with, Thornton Creek are probably 2 miles outside of Fort Dodge. And, you know, a farm, and they face this kind of thing. I know one case, just down in Waukee, big region down that way, and put in the vineyard, built one, and then Waukee wouldn't give him a license to sell. Because they didn't quite fit into the city road plans or whatever. So I feel a little bit, you know, it's a catch 22, but I didn't realize that it's going to be this kind of problem. And so that's why I'm asking for the variance. And maybe I'm trying to find gifts and go back to two in the process.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Well, not necessarily in regards to the variance, but how long does the process take from harvest to in the bottle? Is that?
It's approximately a year. Now, we could age it, well, maybe not even a year, because we probably run the process through about 9 years. And so I have, you know, had a sold to other wineries, grapes and so forth. I've gotten the process. I think I've got good enough grapes I can make the wine work. So three people that want me, and they have the same or similar wines. They don't want the wine sitting in oak casks, aging like you might do on a fine California wine, but they do a good job of making wine. And we work very closely together. All the grapes that go through the wines were are all grown on the property. I never buy any grapes from anybody else because nobody grew grapes to my standard. And so I've had a number of friends want to sell grapes to me now. You know, people I've known for a long time, and I just basically don't get involved. I had a neighbor a couple of years ago that wanted to sell 350 pounds of grapes. I did take them off his hand, and so some other person that wanted to buy grapes. I mean, it's pretty good for them. I don't want my his grapes and my wine, because I think that's the big difference in what we make and what you make. I don't mean to sound arrogant about it, but I put a lot into growing those grapes, and I want to see top quality. So I'm listening. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Well, I've got some questions on winemaking, but I'll wait till after the meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on the variants?
The comment with regard to the concern about traffic, do you have any comments on that? Are you expecting, besides the deliveries, a lot of traffic?
Yes, that's a very good question. A number of people previously were concerned about this. No, I don't anticipate any change in traffic there. I'm out to the vineyard, at least in the spring, summer, fall, probably 5-6 times a week. And, you know, they may at some point decide on the way home, I'll put some wine in the pickup or a van and take it to the grocery stores and anchors that are really out here. But, you know, in terms of people coming, I've got some people helping me that are higher that are probably not close to what go back to the vineyards. Because we don't have much about the wine side. Even if they make wine here, it comes first. And that's one of the obvious causes of press the group for December, all those things get to be very fast. So we, I think that 50,000 and a huge press. You know, I have one I bought from a client in Kansas City that had big 50,000. It works very well. We've used it, and I've used it for small batches. Friends have used it a couple of times. So, you know, I have to be one right. Yeah, maybe you're too many.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for? If not, we'll close and deliberate. Do I hear any motions?
Out a motion to go ahead and go with the recommendation here that we approve the request with the conditions put forth.
Do I hear a second?
I would second that. You're talking number two, correct?
Yes.
Motion by Neubauer, second by Brecky. Roll call vote, please.
Neubauer?
Aye.
Brecky?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye. You have your variance, sir.
Thank you.
So when can we see it at IB? Is it there now? I don't look at the money.
No, it's marketing under, it will be marketed under Red Barn Wines. Okay. Until I get the go-ahead from the county with appropriate zoning, I can't sell a bottle. Mm. So that's a Class A native wine permit. Requires that I get that to the state, the state approves it, and then we go from there. So
so he has to give it away now.
let's move on here, and then we can discuss wine. Comments out of the staff? Any sort of moving forward?
I don't have anything to tell you. The next meeting is March 20th. The deadline for submittals for variances and conditional use permits.
You said March.
Oh, did I say? Yeah, we don't have any cases, but the deadline hasn't come yet, so it's likely that we'll have something okay. Before him, but okay. Nothing in particular.
Possibly in February.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the cause? Not, I move adjourned. I'll entertain a motion of adjournment, rather.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second that one.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry.